What I thought I'd do this morning is a little switcheroo. I'm going to preach the evening service now and the morning service tonight. So if you are looking forward to the Philippians sermon, please come back tonight. I promise I'll preach it then. But this morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 9, where the sermon title is The Cost of Following Christ. When I came into the Sunday school here this morning, the men were studying humility, and I mentioned to them that both sermons were going to be directed to it. So it'll be a nice augmented service here. But Luke chapter 9, and to get the context, we'll start in verse 21. And he, that is Jesus, strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I surely tell you truly that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Our verse that we will look intently at is verse 23, where again Jesus says, And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It's interesting that one of the extreme, perhaps unnecessary, activities that people will do today is that of mountain climbing. Perhaps you've seen people do it. Perhaps you've had friends do it. Or perhaps you do it. I don't know. I've never done it. Every year, the slopes of Mount Everest get littered with dead bodies of people attempting to climb. To climb Mount Everest, it's very costly. It's all-consuming and very dangerous. Prior to 1996, one in four who made the attempt died in the process. One in four died in the process. The numbers are a little better today, but still on average, 14 people die for every 100 that climb the summit. One in 10 who do make it to the top die on the way down. More than 225 people have perished in the past three decades trying to make the climb. In April 2014 was the most deadliest day of that mountain's history, when an avalanche swept and killed 16 people. It's a costly thing to do. If you wanted to climb Mount Everest, it would cost you at least $30,000 just to make one attempt. The training takes anywhere between 8 to 12 months of full-time commitment, doing nothing else, not a part-time job. Those several years are recommended considering the high cost of doing this, both financially and the cost of perhaps your own life, it's astonishing how many people will risk everything, even their own lives, to accomplish a feat that really has little reward. I mean, what's their reward for doing it? Just the thrill and saying, I did it. Maybe that might give you a little certificate. But you go through all that, risking your own life, spending tens of thousands of dollars just to climb a mountain. Yet, it's not a commitment to be entered into lightly. Have you ever considered the Christian life as one as having a cost? It's not a monetary cost. It doesn't cost you tens of thousands of dollars. Instead, it's a self-cost. It's a cost of commitment. It's a cost of the whole direction of your life. And yet their reward is much greater, infinitely greater than climbing a mountain. Christ outlines the cost in three categories for us from verse 23. And those three categories, I will title them, one, that it means denying yourself. Two, it means dying to self. And three, it means walking the path of Christ. So repeat those again. It means denying yourself. It means dying to yourself. And it means walking the path of Christ. Let's look at the first one, that it means denying yourself. John Calvin said that the sum of the Christian life is basically that of self-denial. The gospel is a call for self-denial. How many times when we share the gospel with other people do we tell them it's going to cost yourself? It's going to cost denying yourself. How many times do we tell them that? It's not a gospel of self-fulfillment. Many evangelical churches preach, you come to Christ and everything will be fine. That it's a type of self-fulfillment. That it's a type of religion where you're going to have peace and joy. You're going to be a better salesman. You're going to have a better job. And guess what? You also, ultimately, you'll feel better about yourself. Everything's going to be positive. You're not going to face anything. It's not going to cost you anything. You just come or walk down the aisle, and everything's going to be fine. Is that what you think Christianity is? Christ says here this morning that it means denying yourself. Let's look at what he says more intently. Look at the first word that he says. It's the word if. If. What does the word if mean? Well, if you look throughout Scripture, there are many if statements, aren't there? But here Christ uses it. What does it mean, if? What he's signifying here is that not everyone is going to be a Christian. If. See, it demands a choice. And the choice demands a cost. Demands a commitment. If you're going to do this, then this is going to be the consequence. Now, if you don't want this consequence, then don't do this. He's telling the readers to count the cost. Note the next word that he uses. He says, if anyone would or will. Okay? Here, this is a word of purpose or desire or intention. Do you have the intention to want to come after Christ? Do you have that intention here this morning? Maybe you do. Maybe we all do. And that's wonderful. Do you have the desire to come after Christ? That is just wonderful. But the desire is not enough, is it? You can have the desire all day long. You can have the desire to marry this person. But what's going to make it true? That you go and propose and do the vows, etc. You can have all the intention you want to go buy that house. But it's not yours until you actually buy it. You can have all the feelings in your heart that you want, that you're going to do something. But until you actually do it, you really didn't have those true intentions, did you? They were masqueraded somehow, you see, pulling strings, pulling someone along. It's the same thing here. Christ is saying that if you have the true intention of coming after him, you will do something. You will do something. What does he say that you will do? The first thing he says is that you will deny yourself. You will deny yourself. The self here refers to the sinful nature that we're all born with. It deals with the heart that we have that's bent towards sin. To deny simply means to refuse something. Have you ever denied something? Perhaps you denied a certain type of food that you really like because you go, oh, that's not good for me. Perhaps you denied a certain kind of person because you don't like their attitude or whatnot. Lots of things that we denied. But here, Christ is saying, deny yourself. Deny that sinful nature that wants to rise up every day. Deny that sinful nature that wants to live for itself. Deny that sinful nature where the treasure of it is yourself. That is the mountain that the unbeliever is living for. Get in the way of it and watch out. But here's what Christ came to rescue us from. You see? It requires a conversion. If one is not converted to Christ, you're not going to deny yourself. If one is converted to Christ, you will deny yourself. And that's the directional flow that Christ is stating here. See, when you come to Christ, you no longer have the choice to continue to live to please yourself. To continue to live and have your feelings fulfilled. You see? To no longer living as a slave of sin. The unbeliever only has one master, that's himself. The believer has a new master, who's Christ. Who is our master here this morning? If your master is Christ, you're going to delight having God's word tell you how to live. Is that how you live? Is this what dictates your living? Your choices? Or is it your feelings and yourself? Who are you living to please? Yourself or God? To deny self means to deny idolizing yourself. It means to stop prioritizing yourself in all situations. Isn't that what we tend to do? What am I going to do now? Well, what I do to prioritize myself so that I get some benefit out of it. See? It also means to stop living for self-justification. It means to stop living for self-centeredness. A way to find out what you're living for is listen to yourself when maybe you get into an argument. What is the argument about? 9 times out of 10, it's about yourself. Because I didn't get my way. You didn't give me my way? And now I'm mad. Happens in marriages all the time. That would give you a clue of what you're prioritizing. Paul said in Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Calvin here takes Paul to mean that we should cease to live for ourselves and instead surrender ourselves fully to God. That's what the Christian life is. It's throwing up the white flag. I surrender. Take control. No longer living in your own power, but now living under a new authority, under the power of God. Let's take a look at the second thing of coming after Christ. It means to die to self. To die to self. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. The cross in the Roman world was a picture of death. It was a picture of being executed. It was a picture of being slain. You see, the Christian life is not about exalting itself. It's about the slaying of self. It's about the death of self. The Christian life is a life of winning by losing. This is the core of the gospel and discipleship. See, when you come to Christ, he gives you a new nature. The old nature now becomes odious and stenchful to you. Do you have an old nature that you smell and it stinks every day that you see it? See, when you become a Christian, you trade corpses. You were once dead in sin, but now you become alive to Christ and now dead to sin. Have you traded caskets? You come into a new realm of existence. Have you come into a new realm of existence, or are you still living in the worldly existence? Do you still laugh at worldly jokes? Do you still involve your life in worldly things? Is that what gives you pleasure? Is that what you race to every day? What kind of shows do you enjoy watching? What kind of books do you enjoy reading? Give you an indication. What kind of friends do you aggregate with? Are they Christian friends? Are those the friendships that bring you joy? Or are you developing friendships with the world, that is your core of friendships, that is where you seek advice? Christ said that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. See, when you come to Christ, things may not get better. When you come to Christ, things may actually get worse. You come to Christ, and the rest of your family is not in Christ. They're not Christians. Watch out. You will bring a sword into your family without knowing it, without even trying it. They will rise up in hostility against you because they hate Christ. They hate who you stand for because it reminds them of their condemnation, reminds them of their guilt. They can't stand it. Hostility will not be far behind. Are you willing to pay the price of greater suffering in your family because you own Christ? Or do you own Christ and then deny him in front of family so that you can have your family back? Christ says, no, you can't have two masters. You can only have one. Who's your allegiance going to be? You see, becoming a Christian is costly. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your job. Your boss doesn't like you because you're a Christian. And he's going to find a way to get rid of you because you remind him of his sin that he cannot stand. What's your commitment toward? If you're not willing to have conflict with the world and with your family because of Christ, then Christ is saying that you're not worthy to be his disciple. Christianity is not a me-centered theology, but Christ-centered. Remember, one said to Christ, where he said, I'll go with you wherever you go. Christian life's a joke. I'll go with you wherever you go. Remember how Christ responded? Foxes have den holes, and so on, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You come after me, it may not be a fun ride. It may not be a fun ride. Do you see Christ as so valuable that you are willing to give up everything for him? Are you willing to carry your cross? Do you want to follow Jesus? If you do, be prepared. It may cost you everything. Be prepared. What is one of the most painful afflictions for you in your life? For me personally, it's the thing of disrespect. How do you react when someone disrespects you? Okay. Usually for me, it sets off a cascade of thoughts and emotions, often anger, and things like this. Is that how you react when someone disrespects? It's not a pleasant thing, is it? But this is an area to apply the cross daily, that I am to count myself as dead to living for self-respect. You see? Can you count yourself dead for living for something other than Christ? Count myself dead for living for self-respect. So that when I'm self-respected, it doesn't mean anything anymore. See? The way of the cross and self-denial is actually the cure for anger. Anybody here have anger problems? Road rage? Sure, we all do to some extent. We usually get angry 9 times out of 10 for receiving lack of respect. But here Christ is saying, apply the cross to it, deny it, count yourself as dead to it, and start watching the anger process go away. See, in Christ is the cure, not in these self-help methods that are out there. Let's look at the third part, where to come after Christ means walking the path of Christ. Look at the third part of our verse. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He uses the word follow. The word follow. This word follow sounds like kind of an innocent word, but it's a very powerful word in the Greek. To follow here means to join paths. Did you ever join paths with someone? That's what you do in marriage, isn't it? The two become one and you walk the same path. If you don't, watch out. You're going to have some problems. It means to come and coincide with Christ's path. You see, it means to give up the path that you were walking on, the path of self-fulfillment, the path of self-centeredness, the path of self-righteousness, the path of arrogance, the path of everything it's about me. Be dead to that path, and now you're on the path of Christ. You're on that path. Are you on that path this morning? Or are you on some other path? Remember, Jesus said, all other paths lead to destruction. Wide is the gate, but narrow is his path. Why did he say narrow? Because only few will go on it. Because they don't want to give up the other path. They would rather the other path. Which path do you want here this morning? Do you want your own path that leads to hell? Or do you want the path of Christ that leads to eternal life? Depends what you treasure, doesn't it? What do you treasure here? What's your treasure in life? Think about that. It means to walk after the lead of Christ. It's not two distinct paths. I see Christ's path here, and here's my path. Oh, that path looks good, but I like my path, and I'll call myself a Christian. No, Christ says I must follow his lead, his path, which is the path of holiness, which is the path of self-denial, which is the path of death. Is that your path? It's got to be your path, or we should not own the name of Christian. Do we share this with others when we share the gospel with them? We also, you know, most times when we share the gospel, we just say, just believe in Jesus, and that's it. No, we need to be sharing the cost. We need to be sharing the cost, because in here, the cost shows you assurance of salvation. If I'm walking in this path of Christ, then I can have assurance. You see, not that I'm earning it, but it's the fruit that I have true saving faith. So the desire or the will to come after Christ must be accompanied by three steps of action: denying self, putting self to death daily, and walking the same path that Christ did, which is the path of death. Do you see yourself as a slave of Christ? Do you? Or are you a slave of yourself? Okay. It'll be seen in how you live if you're doing these things that Christ said. It's the path of death. Paul said that there was once a time then when all of his criterion were his gain in the world. But when he met Christ, all of that became nothing. Became as dung. It became worthless to him. All those things that he once valued as prestige and awards, they then became meaningless. The only thing that meant anything to Paul was Christ. And following that path of Christ, no matter the cost, can we make that same commitment here? It should be our prayer every day when we get out of bed. Oh, Lord, give me the strength to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. And then seek to put that into action. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very powerful passage that your Son delivered. We ask that you would make it true in our lives, that we would take the Christian life seriously, not float along, but be intentional deny the self, to put the self to death, to be willing to take the consequences of following Christ, no matter how dire they may be. Would you give us the strength to do so in Jesus' name?